Thank you, Professor Vincent, for this very kind invitation. And I would like today to share with you our experience on the facial reconstruction in NOMA patients. Since more than 30 years, we are involved in a humanitarian program which has been initiated by Professor Montandon. And this program is mainly in correlation with Africa and is focused on the treatment of NOMA sequelae and craniofacial malformation. And since then, thanks to collaboration with NGO, we were able to transfer more than 250 cases to our university hospital for treatment of NOMA sequelae and craniofacial malformation. We also regularly travel in Africa, in Niger first, where we had a center of NOMA with a lot of cases, and then in Burkina Faso. And we, during this surgical mission, we do follow up NOMA sequelae and cleft lip and palate. So I won't speak about NOMA, the definition, the risk factor, and all the etiopathology of this disease, because Dr. Denis Barati will explain that later on. But as you see, it's a multifaceted disease with a lot of different form of defect, which involve the face of the small children of poor country. Very quickly, the disease has three phases. It starts with a fever and an edema, which very rapidly turn into necrosis, which will leave an open wound. And this wound will heal by contraction, decreasing the size of the defect, leaving very often a mouth constriction, and that is the phase of the sequelae that we are going to treat. During mission, due to poor local medical facility that we have in Niger or Burkina, we cannot take care of very large defect. And we need to organize the transfer when intensive care unit is necessary or if a multiple step procedure is planified. Conditions for transfer are low hospital rate, even though we have the gratuity of this for these cases, short hospitalization stay, and we have a specialized home to have the children between the hospitalization for postoperative care, socialization, and education. An example of the treatment that we can do during mission, the Eslander flap to correct partial defect of the lip. As you see, we take care to thinner the pedicle in order to reconstruct the commissura at the same step and avoid a secondary procedure. Another example with this technique. For larger defect, we use the submental flap described by Dominique Martin based on the submental artery. And with this flap, we can take care of lesion even with a small defect of the alveolar bone, because you can harvest the submandibular, contralateral submandibular bone glandula and fill up this defect. You can also correct a large defect of the cheek, particularly if there is no mouth constriction. You can keep the function of the facial nerves and adequately reconstruct the contour and the face of the cheek. So Surgical missions are also always a privileged time to share our experience and idea with others. We often invite physician who has a good experiment to share the mission with us. You see Dominique Martin, Andrea Smith, and we also invite African physician to work with us. Here is the Professor Assé from Côte d'Ivoire and Dr. Moussa Daou from Mali. During this mission, we also perform the follow-up of the patient treated the year before and the patient that we have operated during transfer. An example of this follow-up with this young girl treated with a long time ago with two platysma flap, and here she is 16 years later with her baby girl. This follow-up allows us to assess the long-term aesthetical and functional result, but was also the occasion to observe the recurrence of mouth constriction. So we study the chart of the ONG, which follow the children during a 10-year period, and we have to all these measurement of mouth opening, and we do an average of all these measurement, and you see how the mouth opening is decreasing over a period of 10 years. That means that really the exercise that they have to do, the physiotherapy, is very important if we want to keep this mouth open. Observing that, we wanted to see if the flap that we use for the lining does influence the recurrence of mouth constriction. And we observed that we have a higher rate of mouth constriction recurrence using pedicled flap, and this was particularly true with the skin grafted galeal flap that we use at first for the lining of the mouth. Then, considering this result, we shift to the use of free flap for the cheek reconstruction, and we observe a decrease in the recurrence of mouth constriction using this flap. So this long-term follow-up allows us to be really aware of this recurrence of mandibular constriction, but also about the shortening of the flap, particularly if we didn't do bone support under the flap, and also the absence of growth of some reconstructed structure, in particular the nose in small children. That's why we have to change our surgical technique. We understand the importance of the bone, the vascularized bone reconstruction, and we were stimulated to develop new procedure. And indeed, the surgical challenges of NOMA sequelae is a very large soft tissue defect in the center of the face, where you need a long pedicle to reach the neck for the anastomosis. And that's why we develop the use of free flap and the use of serratus musculocutaneus free flap, because this flap has a very long pedicle, much longer than the one of the latissimus dorsi. It has a very nice skin paddle, which is soft and pliable, and it leaves a minimal aesthetical denocyte morbidity. An example of this flap, you can harvest it with a rib fragment for this very small defect of the mandibula. We didn't want to do a peroneal flap, so we harvest a rib fragment, and that allows us to reconstruct the contour of the face. In this case, with large defect of the cheek, full thickness defect, we did a folded ceratus flap, and we also reconstruct the lining with this flap, and that is the result. In this boy with a full thickness defect of the upper lip and of the nostril and the nasal tip, we first use a folded ceratus flap to reconstruct the upper lip. Then we prepare a total nasal reconstruction and a mucosal flap for the upper lip mucosal reconstruction and the result. We review the free flap that we perform in NOMA patients. There were 103 flap, and as you can see, most of them was musculocutaneous flap used for the cheek reconstruction, but we also use several forearm flap. An example of this forearm flap, when you have a complete mouth constriction with no lining, so this flap is very helpful to reconstruct the lining of the cheek. You can see it here. Another case where you need a flap which is thin, pliable, to reconstruct this portion of anatomy, and that is the result of this case using a forearm free flap and an Esslander flap for the lip. In this collective of flap, we had to do a 40 pedicle revision, which allowed the salvage of 12 flaps. So we have a total failure rate of 90% in this free flap in children, which were often quite young, 2 or 3 years old. Another challenge of the surgical reconstruction for NOMA sequelae are the wide bone defects that occur in the maxilla or the malar bone. And to reconstruct this defect, we design the prefabricated vascularized calvarium flap. This flap is a two-step procedure. During the first operation, we expose the galea, we put a skin graft on top of it, and we delay the superficial temporal pedicle that we wrap with a thin sheet of silicone. And then we close the scalp on top of it. And 3 weeks later, we harvest a full thickness calvarium fragment, and you see that it's bleeding, and we wrap this bony fragment with the grafted galea and pass it in the face through a subcutaneous tunnel. Here you see an example of this partial maxillary reconstruction with the calvarium fragment. 7 years later, you see that there is no resorption, a good osteointegration, and probably some growth, because this boy was 2 years old when he was operated on. An example of a large defect of the maxilla, which completely deform the face during the growth. In this case, we first perform a mandibular expansion to have the room, and then we reconstruct the maxilla with this calvarium flap, and finally a ceratus free flap for the cheek reconstruction. In this case of a three-year-old girl with this defect, complete defect of the lower lip, the chin, and the symphysis of the mandibula, we thought she was maybe a little bit too small to have a peroneal flap, so we chose to perform a bilateral calvarium flap that you see in place for this mandibular reconstruction. And then we perform a serratus free flap for the chin. And that was the lip that was just suspended by the muscle of the serratus. And here she is back in her country with a follow-up of 6 years. So we review our calvarium flap. We have performed 51 calvarium flap, but mainly for maxillar and malar defect and 2 palatal defect. And we lost 1 bony fragment of 1 flap. We had some delayed healing, but generally procedure is safe with a very good survival and low complication rate. Here an example of this partial defect of the alveolar and palatal bone that has been reconstructed with a calvarium flap, then Eslander flap for the lip reconstruction. And here she is 19 years or later. In this case, we had a complete collapse of the middle third of the face. You see the inferior teeth going in the nose. So we first did an expansion to have the space to reconstruct the maxilla. Then we performed 2 calvarium flap on both sides to reconstruct the maxilla. And then we use a forearm free flap to reconstruct the upper lip and the commissura. And you see here 10 years later, and you see that the height of the middle third of the face stay thanks to this calvarium reconstruction. Well, and now I digress, and I am sure the maxillo and the craniofacial surgeon will get angry with me. But we had this boy from Madagascar with this bilateral cleft, and actually there were no palate at all. I know that cleft is a matter of malposition, but no defect. But really here, we really look hard, but didn't find any palate. So we decide to reconstruct this palate with a calvarium flap. And we then reimplant the septum of the nose and the premaxillum in our calvarium flap. So we just open the soft tissue and put the septum, and actually indeed there were a very thin slide of bone of about 2 or 3 millimeters wide that was the remaining palate. And so we reimplant all that with the premaxilla, and then we close the lip. And that is the result, and you see the 2 front teeth growing in place. So I don't know how all these will grow with the children. I re-implant the nostril, but didn't want to do more scar here, and I hope I will be able to see this child in several years. Back to our NOMA cases, we were interested in looking at our hemifacial reconstruction. The inclusion criteria was the association of major destruction of 4 of these structures. And we found 31 patients, most of them was from Africa. All of them was from Africa, from different countries. 4 of them had been operated before by other team, and you see this patient. And the median age was 10 years. These children has a median operation number of 5, and a medium of transfer duration of 7 months in Switzerland. On these 31 children, we perform 88 flap, 25 prefabricated calvarium flap, and most musculocutaneous flap, free flap actually, for this cheek reconstruction, 14 total nasal reconstruction, a lot of mucosal flap for lip reconstruction. And the principle for this reconstruction, hemifacial reconstruction, was to use calvarium as a vascularized bone flap for bone reconstruction, free flap for soft tissue reconstruction, and to try to respect the aesthetical unit and to reconstruct the lip, the nose, and the eyelid with local flap. An example of this girl with this huge defect in the middle of the face. So we first perform a serratus flap. Here you see the lip reconstruction with a Nestlander flap. That is the preparation of the nasal reconstruction with the delay of Hinge flap to do the lining and the result. And here she is back several years later with her baby boy. Another case who had also a defect of the maxilla. So we first performed the maxillary reconstruction with the calvarium flap. Here you see how we measure the defect that we will that we have on the healthy side to know the flap that we need. If we need a very large flap, we take the latissimus dorsi and we pre-expand to be able to close the donor site primarily. And here you see the result after this flap, and you see, well, they move how you increase the middle third of height of the face, and with a 3 years postoperative follow-up. Another case is with this huge bone defect that has been corrected with calvarium flap. Here you see this calvarium flap in place. Then the latissimus dorsi flap, you see what we are going to use for the lining of the mouth and what will be for the cheek. The flap in place. A perioperative view showing that we harvest on the skin grafted galea some Hinge flap for the lining of the nose, to suture our flap in the mouth and also, if necessary, for the lower lid. And that is the preparation of the lip reconstruction using these small mucosal and scar that we have for local flap. Preparation of the nasal reconstruction. And the result. The complication in this 31 patient was two microsurgical revision without flap loss, but some partial necrosis, distal necrosis, the loss of one calvarium fragment, and which is always very difficult in this bone, is this nasal reconstruction, is infection of the nasal bone graft. Some example rapidly of this multiple stage reconstruction with calvarium, free flap, and nasal reconstruction. Another case where you see the bone fragment that has been inserted for the maxillary reconstruction. Another similar case with several year follow-up. The same thing, you see that they were almost the eye in the mouth, so we can really put the eyes back in his right place and reconstruct all this middle third of the face. And in this collective, 8 patients had need additional surgery. 4 of them was possible to do during transfer and during mission, and 4 had a new transfer for mouse recurrence, mouse constriction recurrence, or for the problem of bone graft resorption, and we had to redo the nasal reconstruction. And to illustrate that, you see this girl at the age of 4. We perform a calvarium flap, a nasal reconstruction, and here she was at the end of this reconstruction, and she came 7 years later with infection and resorption of the nose. So we have to redo, and we can do a second frontal flap with expansion, and that is the result after having have 2 frontal flap. Another similar case that we need to correct the nose and remodel the flap and redo the lip reconstruction, and that is the late follow-up, and you see a late result of this calvarium reconstruction. So the facial reconstruction is in children are very challenging, and the results are always disappointing because there are still a lot of scars, there are no motion, the color is not perfect. Well, so it's difficult, and but still, that's why it is important to provide a good environment during the surgery, and really try to avoid this flap failure, this unacceptable donor site morbidity, and to provide a follow-up and secondary correction if it is necessary. Here you see this girl having been operated many times with always the hole, the same hole in the face, and that is after latissimus dorsi free flap and a nasal reconstruction. And so if the good condition and are not here, I think it is important to recognize our limit, because bad operation can be even worse than no operation at all. And I just show you some example that we have to see with flap that is useless and really not helpful. So before ending, I would like to thank the NGO with whom we are working. I think that the professionalism and the follow-up that they help us to provide is very important for analyzing our result and to change our procedure and to help these children till the end. And that is the NGO. And I thank you for your attention.